You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details over at WYNNBET.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to the free daily video picks from the SGPN crew. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we're also brought to you by Riffer. Riffer is your home for mini podcasts from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Subscribe to our Riffer channel today and get at sportsgambling.com/Riffer. That's sportsgambling.com. .com/RIFFR. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. This is the RBC Heritage DFS and betting show following up our Masters hangover. Listen, I'm ready. There's still money to be made. Really strong field. Myself, Boston Capper, the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer. Are you ready for this week, baby?
Yeah, I mean, I kicked the hangover too. You know, I drank a bunch of Gatorade. I got the famous Rochester garbage plate. That is the perfect hangover cure for
what is that?
So anyone who's not from this area, so basically you take a bed of home fries and you put two cheeseburgers on top, and then you take this meat sauce as like nutmeg and spices and everything. You put that on top, ketchup, mustard. Mac salad as well, and you just mix it up and you eat it, and it's greasy, it is fatty, but it will sure as hell cure your hangover. So have one of those and I'm past the Masters and I'm ready to, you know, cleanse the palate and talk about the RBC Heritage.
Yeah, so. I'd have to cleanse the palate after eating that too. That sounds fucking gross, bro.
Don't knock it till you try. Right?
Well, I don't like macaroni salad because it's got mayonnaise.
You know what? I don't either, but if you mix it up with everything, it actually works. My wife didn't like macaroni salad either. I introduced a garbage plate to her when I first met her. And, yeah, she loves it. She can't imagine not having a garbage plate without Max.
Well, she married you, so garbage plate is a step up.
There you go. why don't we touch base a little bit about lanes and, like, things to look for. So you probably could tell on the RBC Heritage preview show, we spent most of our time in the Masters.
Yeah.
We're a little golfed off at that point. But there's a couple things I want to touch on as far as like clarifying and then like things to look for. So as someone who constantly gets on people for mixing up the grass type, I actually mixed up the grass type. It is not Bermuda this week. And actually, a lot of people are making that mistake. It is overseed. And it's something I actually didn't really realize until just now. That's going to make a big – well – I mean, for me, it doesn't make that big of a difference. But for people who want to actually, like, focus on, like, putting Bermuda stats, that's really the only thing I think that makes a big difference as far as, like, you know, if it's overseed or if it's Bermuda. Just get rid of that. It doesn't matter. And I heard a couple of people say, well, you know, it's Bermuda golf course, but there's a little bit of overseed. There's no such thing. It's like saying you're a little bit pregnant versus a lot pregnant. You know, you're just pregnant. No, if you put overseed on a golf course, guess what? There's no Bermuda then. So it's ryegrass, fairways and rough, Poa trivialis greens. That makes it different. You know, make adjustments as, you know, as you see it. I want to expand a little bit, too, on correlated golf courses. So a lot of people want to make a connection that this is the Wyndham just because you got a lot of short knockers up at the top of the leaderboard. You know, Webb does well here. Kisner does well here. And you can use Wyndham if you want as like a correlated leaderboard, but you're kind of getting to the right answer from the wrong process. Whereas the Wyndham is a putting contest, and the Heritage is definitely more of ball striking, scrambling. And the reason why these guys who do well at the Wyndham do well here is because they're really good at their short and intermediate irons. They're really good scramblers, and they're just not like four strokes like behind from the jump because all these bombers are just like hitting it out farther. Everybody's basically starting on the same page. So for me, this week is going to resemble more like a Colonial, more like Innisbrook. Those are tournaments where like the winning score is like low teens, like high single digits under par. Like you got to keep it like right in front of you. You can't really overpower it. Yeah, those are more golf courses I'm looking at as far as correlation than like a Wyndham. So,
okay,
you know, look at a couple things. That's what I'm doing. And then we actually had a very interesting question in the Slack channel from Moonoff. And I think this is what you've been looking forward to is how do guys do going from the Masters to the Heritage?
Yeah.
And then vice versa. Like how did like anybody who like finished top 10 at the Heritage do the previous week? So so we get to throw out 2020, which is a good thing because it was a different time of year, different grass type. It was basically a Wyndham.
It was super soft.
Yeah, that you basically watched the Wyndham at Harbortown last year. This is not going to be that. So why don't we start with guys who finished inside the top 10 at the Masters and then went on to play at the Heritage. And I look back to 2010. And 30 guys who finished in the top 10 of the Masters since 2010 went on to play the Harbortown.
So three a year?
Yeah, about three a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Only one of them won. That was Matt Kuchar. He finished, I think, like fifth at the Masters and then won the following week. Four other guys had top 10s. They were Patrick Cantlay in 2019. Leishman in 2013. He went top 10 back-to-back. Luke Donald in 2011. He always seems to finish top 10 at this event. And Ricky Barnes. Not only was I surprised he got an exemption to the Masters, but he finished top 10 2 years in a row in 2010. So
how did he get in the Masters?
I have no idea. I don't really care. he wears a stupid hat. I think he gets like a medical exemption or something now. So so six other guys had top 20. So we're only at 11 guys who actually did relatively okay. 11 guys finished 20th or worse, but still made the cut. And eight of them missed a cut. So there definitely is a little bit of a hangover from the Masters coming here. I mean, you only got one guy who ended up following up and win. You only had four guys ended up, you know, top 10-ing. So that's, what, 20% of the field there, right there? Yeah. And then over almost two-thirds of those guys either finished 20th or worse or missed a cut. Oh. So that might be something to look at. You know, I know that there's a lot of guys who did well last week. They're getting a lot of steam.
Oh, yeah.
Might be an opportunity to fade them. And then vice versa. How about we look at guys who play the Masters and then play the Heritage and then finish in the top 10 of the Heritage. So of the last 10 winners of the Heritage the week after the Masters, seven of those winners were in the Masters the previous week. So there is something to playing in the Masters. You can still go on and win. But only one of those guys finished in the top 10. It was Matt Kuchar, like we talked about. One of those guys had a top 20 in the Masters. That was, I think, Brant Snedeker. One of them had a 20th or worse finish but still made the cut. That was actually Satoshi Kodaira when he randomly beat Siwoo Kim, your boy, your capo, in 2018.
I remember it. My capo regime.
And four of those guys who won missed the cut. They were Brandon Grace. It was Jim Furyk. It was Graham McDowell. And it was actually Jim Furyk again. So Jim Furyk got cut and won the next week twice. Graham McDowell got cut and won. And then Brandon Grace, your mortal enemy. Yeah, he did that too. And then just of the rest of the top 10, 18, there were 50 guys who basically finished in the top 10 since 2010 that played the Masters previous week. 18 of them were cut at the Masters and then finished top 10 the next week. 16 of them finished between 11th and 20th at the Masters and then finished top 10. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I messed that up. 16 of them finished worse than 20th, but made the cut at the Masters and then finished top 10 at the Heritage. Only 10 of those guys finished 11th or 20th at the Masters and finished top 10. And only six of those guys did top 10 two in a row. So there is definitely something about guys who did not do well at the Masters or were kind of like just so-so, weren't really relevant.
Yeah.
And ended up playing well at the Heritage. And there's definitely something to guys who had a top 10 at the Masters and just could not repeat it the next week. So it's probably a little bit of, you know, you're going to have to probably look at some guys, how they did the Masters. Because actually, there's a lot of guys who play the Masters or in the it's a good field. If you're looking at a guy and you think, yeah, he's going to carry momentum, odds are definitely against his favor.
All right. Well, It's going to change some thoughts up top for me.
So then what are you looking at then after, like I said, all that, like, how is that going to change things for you?
So, I mean, really, like, I mean, the guys who missed the cut, like, I hate Cantlay so much. And I knew that I didn't go down the rabbit hole like you did. And I basically skimmed over that. Like we talked about offline, we both were absolutely crushed at work today. Like Cantlay, like he's going to be kind of chalky. How do you, well, we can get into it when we start talking about the DK stuff, but maybe it brings DJ into play a little bit, like missed cut off the Masters. Like maybe people are sleeping on him a little bit. I mean, I'm looking at his ownership, 8% of DJ, 8%.
I'm going to be scary. Scary low. Yep.
God damn. All right. Yeah. We can break down that tier a little bit more because I had an initial thought. I had an initial pivot that based on those stats, I should not pivot to. So, all right. So any other thoughts before actually we jump into it?
Let's talk about the weather a little weather, bit. Yeah. So for the last month, it hasn't rained. There was actually a fire warning on Monday. Yeah. That I showed everybody in the Slack that, you know, assuming the golf course doesn't burn down between now and Thursday, we're going to have a tournament, but they're actually going to get some much needed rain on Thursday. A little worried maybe it might rain the tournament out. I'm not sure. Depends where the thunderstorms move. But other than that, Friday.
If rain takes away my first round lead of Thursday sweats, that's literally what I look forward to every goddamn Thursday. It makes my life happy on a Thursday. If it's taken away from me and I just have to work, I'm going to be very upset.
I know. I'm just going to say your management's probably going to be very happy. You're just going to be working and, you know, exactly, producing money for them instead of producing money for yourself and your wallet.
Exactly.
So on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be high 60s, low 70s temperatures, wind between like, you know, 10 to 15 miles per hour. I mean, there's definitely has been worse winds there, but it's going to be bothersome, you know, especially on 16 through 18. So if you think that this is going to be the birdie fest like last year, you're wrong. It's not going to be that. Even with the rain coming on Thursday, kind of like what happened with the Masters, like I don't think it's going to make that much of a huge difference. I think it's still going to play very firm, very fast. I think the win score is in between like 10 and 14 under par. So, yeah, it's not going to be a putting contest like some people seem to think this thing is. It's going to be about how you hit your short and intermediate irons, keep it in the fairway. Guys going to be missing a lot of greens because, you know, greens are firm and they're small. That's a really bad combo. You're going to be scrambling a whole lot. And just get up and down and making birdies when you can. So it's a pretty simple formula that's worked for the last 10 years of this place. There's not really a whole lot that's going to be a surprise. So don't overthink this. And let's get to work.
All right. Listen, before we get to work, listen, WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details over at WYNNBET.com and download the app today. So a number that I saw hanging for an outright. So Henley, we can talk about this in the betting section. He's been bet all the way down, like very down, but they're still hanging a 65 at Henley right now. So I like that.
I think he started at like 101.
He started at 101, and
that's a big move on WynnBET then.
I know. Dude, listen, I grabbed it at 50-1 because I was lazy and I didn't know. We talked about it. I didn't make any bets on fucking Monday, and I was like, and then Tuesday I went to go start, and I was like, oh come on, man, like. Like, come on. I lost 50. Come on.
You know what I noticed of this tournament? Like, after the Masters, everyone has the golf itch. And, like, there's actually, I think, a little bigger handle on this event than you'd think. And yeah. I think a lot of numbers move then. So, like, people think that, like, yeah, we're going to, you know, like, betting.
But Henley didn't even play. Like, that's golf. That's like, our type of guy to play. Yeah. It's like your John Q public who just watched the Masters. Like, oh, you know who's going to do good here? Henley. Like, yeah, why did that move? They just hung a bad number and moved it.
Right. So, I mean, there's still going to be a lot of people betting this. There's going to be a lot of DFS, but next week is going to kill off all the betting because, it's a crappy tournament that we'll talk about at the end how we're going to handle. So,
okay. All right, man. So, all right. So, you have to start breaking up the DK range. So, you want me to start on the 10Ks?
Do you want to start with where the ownership is first?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's looking like Webb Simpson is the most popular player this week by
Uber Chalk, almost 30%.
Yeah, just because he won last year, he's always good here. Yeah, I mean, I don't need to tell you who Webb Simpson is. He dominates these golf courses. Matthew Fitzpatrick is also getting a lot of steam, and it's probably because of the, oh, well, you know, he loves Harbortown. He's got the Harbortown towel on his bag. I there's some reasons to like him this week.
He's playing really well.
Yeah, he's playing really well, and I think there's some reasons to like him for betting, but, you know, for, yeah, you know, for if you want to use him DFS, you're not alone. You're going to have to diversify. Kyle Morikawa is also getting a lot of steam this week. I think he's getting, like, his ownership percentage is, what, 18%? I know pretty much every major podcast is picking him to win this week. We'll talk about him later as far as if that's a good bet or not. Will Zalatoris is also getting steam. Corey Connors getting steam. Those two guys are breakout stars of the Masters. They're getting pushed. Haddon had a really good Sunday. He's getting popularity.
Answer is like...
Well, that's $8,000 range. We're still in the nines.
I'm sorry.
So, spoiler alert. Don't get ahead of yourself. And then Daniel Berger, I mean, just because the course history is pretty good, he finished second last year. He's still hanging around 15%. It's not crazy, though. I've seen much bigger numbers than Berger. I think he was bigger last week. So $8,000 range. There's only two guys that are really standing out. It's Abe Ancer, who's getting crazy ownership. Again, people are just looking at what happened last year, and they're betting that. You know, I've already said that it's not going to play different. Like that June tournament. We'll see if that's a good bet. Brian Harman, 15%. Carrying again what happened in the Masters. Again,
and
like
match play. And match play. He played good at match play.
And match play, too. And he played well the players. He's playing good, but we're seeing, like I've told you, there's a lot of guys I've mentioned already, like Zalatoris, Connors, you know, Haddon played well on Sunday, like Harman, like a lot of guys who, like, made noise, I guess, in the Masters against Steam. Might be an opportunity to fade them. $7,000 range. Your capo, Siwoo Kim, 20%. Two guys who didn't play last week, Charlie Hoffman, who finished second to Valero, Chris Kirk, who's been hot for a while. They're pushing 20% ownership this week. And then there's a lot of guys around 10, like Henley, Poulter, Matt Wallace, Kevin Streelman, Emiliano Grillo. Michael Thompson's getting a little bit of podcast bump this week.
Wait, what is that from? I was scrolling through and I was like, Michael Thompson.
He fits a little bit of the mold of.
He plays guys well here. I get it, but he's still Michael Thompson.
Okay, well, he's got a podcast bump. How about that? Lucas Glover, just because we did Valero. They're all pushing 10%. You know, there's some good names and bad names. You're going to have to pick and choose from that list a little bit. But there's some also good contrarian plays that we can, you know, go to. And then $6,000 average. It seems like Doug Gim and Matthew Neesmith are just chalk every week now.
Yeah. It's because they're priced right.
They're priced right, and they show well in all the ball striking models and – I don't know. I mean, Neesmith's been playing a little better lately. Gim is really up and down. Pat Kizire also had a little bit of a podcast bump, too. I think it's probably because a lot of people were saying, oh, these are Bermuda greens. And, well, they're not Bermuda greens. So, exactly. Maybe opportunity to pivot. But that's it. So, why don't you start breaking down a $10,000 range and tell us who you like?
All right. So $10,000, because we do have an 11-6 player who – like we just said, DJ, right? So if that's the criteria of guys who do well here, right? Is he pissed off that he didn't make the cut at the Masters, right? Like, is he going to come out and just go scorched earth? I don't know. Like, the stats haven't really been there for him. But 11-6, dude, 8.8 ownership with DJ, though. Oh, man. I feel like in a GPP, you almost have to. Cantlay, I actually thought Cantlay would be higher owned. Because like we talked about, right, people don't give a shit about the missed cut last week, and his course history here is ridiculous. Like, so how do you ignore the course history? Webb, Uberchalk, like, listen, that's just a stand you're going to have to make. Listen, you're either going 100% in your lineups with Webb, or you have to completely fade him. Like, 30%? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I'm on the fade side, but it also might be because I've been on Webb lately, and he killed me at TPC. I liked Morikawa until I saw his ownership. And who I was going to play, I really like Berger this week, actually. Berger, who I really like, he's at, 15%? I like Berger. Fits the course profile, playing decent. But my favorite play here was going to be Cam Smith at 5%. Like, man, really good form. Top 10 at the Masters. Like, let's roll it in here. And now you're telling me all those stats, and that scares me a little bit. But, dude, 5%? Like, you could go with DJ Cam Smith and have a combined ownership of like 13%.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about this one by one. So yes, you're right. There is definitely some leverage of Dustin Johnson. It just, man, like he has not been very good here. That's the issue.
Even though he's the RBC boy too, which is crazy.
I know, but I mean, he had the only time I can think of he was ever relevant was when he had that 54 hole lead, and they was what he shoot like 79 on Sunday. Yeah, and I think CT Pan ended up winning that. So
that was not great, bud.
I don't know. It's even though he's only like 8%, that kind of makes me. I let's put it this way: I'm much more inclined to play Cam Smith. At 5%, even though he has that top 10 lead. Because, listen, a trend is only a trend until it's broken. So, you know, that is true. And, like, I mean, like with everything else, like he's playing great. His irons are really good. He's a good scrambler, and that's what I'm looking for this week.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be that type of, you know, golf tournament. And like maybe guys are also looking at the driving accuracy number, and they're like, oh, well, that turns them up. But that's –
doesn't matter.
That driving accuracy number is only when they're hitting driver. It has nothing to do with, like, if they hit irons or three wood. Yeah. Exactly. So if he's hitting his irons great, then he's all right. And I don't know. I think he's – I like Cam Smith even though he's T10 last week. And also that was a T10 that wasn't like he faded a little bit. Like he was in the
bucket. That steady.
Well, he rose a little bit on the leaderboard too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Steady. That's good.
Yeah. Like, so like that, like I look at that like if I want to compare like a T8 of Corey Connors who was like really in the mix and then like
right. faded.
Versus Cam Smith, who just had a really good Sunday and wasn't really in the mix, kind of stress free. It's a little different.
Okay.
So I think he split hairs a little bit. So I'm fine with Smith. I really like Cantlay this week. I know I got on this podcast last week and faded him, but I love the bounce back this week. The guy just kills it here, and the ownership is really not crazy.
No, it's and not. I thought it was going to be like 25%.
Yeah, even the outright number wasn't really crazy this week either. So. I really like him. If the ownership definitely is hanging only around 15%, I'll probably be using him. Same thing with Berger. If it's only 15%, like, I'm fine with a missed cut. There's been a lot of guys, as we said, who missed the cut who end up winning or doing very well. So those are my three guys.
You can take either one of those guys with Cam Smith, and you've already – it doesn't matter if those guys are 15% because now you're differentiated with Cam Smith.
Right, yeah, and I like all three. I mean, Webb, it just – I like Webb, but you can't use it with the ownership. With Morikawa,
I wish you guys could see the furrowed brow and the rubbing of the forehead.
Well, I'm so torn. I'm so torn because I've been in a lot of these spots with Morikawa this year where I really, really, really like him a week. I get this inkling, and he was fine last week, but he wasn't great.
No, absolutely not.
And then I'm like, should I go back to him? I'm scared of that happening again. I think I'm off him. I've sat in this chair a lot before where I look at Morikawa and say, well, he should be awesome here because he's a great ball striker. He's accurate. And, like, you know, he can get up and down. And it just – with him, it's either all or nothing. And if he's it's one thing if Morikawa is, like, 10%. All or nothing. Like, all right, well, I have leverage here. He can win, but it's 20%. He's getting so much steam from everybody. Everybody's outright this week. And I think I'm gonna sit on the sidelines with him. And if I miss out again, you know what? I missed out again. C'est la vie. Okay. So yeah, it's my plays are Cantlay, Smith, and Berger. I like all three.
Dude, why are we on the same page? I don't like that at all.
Because we're smart.
Oh, okay. All right, 9K range. Why don't you run through it?
So I really only like one guy down here. I mean, I talked about how I, you know, Zalatoris is really popular. I think the world of the kid. I think there's actually a matchup that you can probably take him on that kind of doesn't make sense. We'll talk about later. It's just after the Masters, like he was right in the mix. Yeah. So. Same thing with Corey Connors. Like, he's getting 60-70% ownership. Yeah, it's – and his course history here has not been very good either. Like, he played well last year, but that was soft conditions. The two tournaments he played that were in April, he missed the cut in both.
Missed the cut.
So, he's out. I love Matt Fitzpatrick, but not this ownership.
He's a bet, not a DFS.
Yeah, you're right. He's a bet. I like a bounce back from Paul Casey. Like,
come on, man. How many times has this guy got to burn us?
Okay, but, like, listen, I think he has top 10 this week. Great ball striker. Accurate,
terrible course history.
It's not that terrible.
He didn't play the last 2 years, and the last two times he played, he got cut. Last time he played this course was 2015.
Okay. I think he can do stop it.
I'm trying to save you from yourself.
I'm gonna play Paul Casey this week. And do I play Sungjae after I just assassinated him last time?
So two missed cuts.
It's two missed cuts, and he does not have anything in one look for. This is purely ownership.
Purely ownership pivot. His irons are trash.
That's why I want to say that I only really like one guy here, and it's Paul Casey. And all right. Well, I made my case. So why don't you talk then? Because you seem like you like a lot of guys in this range.
No, I fucking hate. I'm with you. I'm literally with you. I almost don't want to play this range at all. You're right. Him. I thought about him just because of the ownership play. He's like sub 5%. And it's like,
now everybody is going to.
I know. Yeah.
Now everybody's on my side.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody else is calling knucklehead and worse. I mean, look, if I'm being completely honest, I will probably throw a lineup with him out there just because of the ownership. But the only guy I like here is Hatton. And it's only because of his good Sunday. And I just believe the dude's a fighter type shit. Like, I know he came in third last year and it's a completely different course, but I feel like he's a completely different golfer from then too. I just hope his irons come around a little bit. Like,
I think he's a worse golfer since then. That's how he's different.
Stop it. He is not a worse golfer.
That was when he was at his apex when he finished third last year.
I don't know about that.
Go look at his results.
Fine. Well, listen, either way, like that. So that's like the only guy that I'm, because I love Fitz, I really do, but he's just way too chalky. But I mean, listen, you can differentiate somewhere else. Just because he's chalky doesn't make him a bad player, right? We've talked about that. Like, he could be a good golfer and do something here and be good. So if you're gonna grab a guy like Fitzpatrick, grab a guy like Smith up top, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the case for Fitzpatrick is this is his type of golf course, you know, accurate, good scrambler. Like, I think some of his deficiencies with his irons gets masked a little bit here just because everybody's missing greens. Yeah. He's just an all-world scrambler, all-world putter. Yeah, like, he's printing pretty good here. Yeah, I like the play. He's been playing absent of last week.
Yeah, listen, I'm not telling you not to take him. I'm just saying, listen, he's chalky. So if he is, you can't just go down the board and just be chalky, right? We talk about this all the time, right? Like, you can differentiate somewhere else if you really like the play. And I'm fine with Fitzpatrick. I'm sure I'll have a lot of them. So it's probably Fitz and Hatton for me, and Hatton only because, like, I got to take another guy up in here, and I really don't like anybody else. Really. All right. So AK range.
What's Zalatoris doing this week? Like, realistic expectations.
Oh, dude, it's tough, man. I mean, the kid looked like, dude, the kid's got stones, man. We talked about it, right? And he's young enough to not be tired or like wore out. Like, the dude just came in second off the Masters. Like, I don't know if he's like a patty or whatever, but if he is, I'm sure he was fucking celebrating. Like, holy shit. Like, that was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Like, and I don't know how you fade the kid at this point. Like, his number was 33-1. I threw money on it immediately. That was like I made two bets, right? I was like, that number's wrong, right? And it's just, but it's the same thing we do every week, right? Like, oh, that number's wrong. Like, I don't think about anything else other than that number is wrong, and I throw it at it.
I mean, that's how you're supposed to bet outrights.
No, I know, and it's like, but I don't know how to correlate that to DFS sometimes with the ownership. I don't know, like, dude. I mean, how do you doubt the kid, man? I mean. He's good, man. He's
really I think people have been picking him in part because he's a bomb and gouger. Like, his, you know, he hits it 307.
But his irons are good too.
But that's the counterpoint is smart about it, you're not hitting driver everywhere.
Right.
Then you're hitting irons and the kid just sticks them all the time. So I think probably if you want to knock him, he putted really well last week.
Yeah.
Zach in a phase, he's not the best scrambler, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's for me, I'm just going to rely on that trend of guys who are in the mix and the Masters just generally don't do that great on the next week of the Heritage. You're buying them at their peak.
At their peak, yeah.
So I hope he does well. I will have $0 and 0 cents. Actually, you know what? No, I think I have a matchup on him later.
Well, I got him a little all right. But really, mostly because of my build. Like, I'm trying to grab two of these guys. I got a lot of Smith and Berger. I got a lot of Smith and Cantlay already in my build. So, like, I have to skip over this range, right? So I'm glad I don't like it. All right. So the 8K range is kind of short again. Like, it's funny. Like, there's a bazillion golfers in the fucking 7K range. So Uber Chalk. Answer, Flaccid Fleetwood, Harmon's chalky, man. Like, listen, I love him. He got me on my top lefty and top bulldog and all that other shit. Like, played well in match play, top this. Like, I just, I think I'd pass, especially if you're going to take a guy like Fitz, you can't take Harmon, right? You just can't. You can't be that chalky. Sergio, Lowry, English, Westwood, Billy Ho, Nah, and Kucher. So I'm fading the answer 100% because of how chalky he is. And like we talked about, right? Like last year's tournament is going to be like this one. Like his form is fine, but when he played here in 2019, he got cut. I don't think I need to talk to you about Tommy Fleetwood. I like Sergio. I think he played really well at TPC. I know I just discounted the previous year's result, but that doesn't fit this narrative. So I like Sergio here. I mean, he played well here. I know. He's just a guy who, I don't know. I like where his ownership's at. I don't know. He's like a wily veteran at this point. Like, I feel like he'll do good at a PTI course. Like, that's just how I feel, right? I think Billy Ho is criminally underpriced. This guy just won a WGC. Like, I know it's match play.
I mean, he limped to the finish and beat a guy that is D game.
He won a WGC.
All right, you cannot take it away from him. It's your narrative. We're not going to relitigate how I think the match play results are.
That's correct. So. Listen, we both are firmly in our camps on this one. Look, course history is mixed at best, right? So last year I missed the cut, but like I said, it doesn't matter unless I'm talking about Sergio. And then, he's made the cut three of the last 4 years prior to that, T5. I don't know. Like, just kind of pivot. So I feel like I might be just doing too many pivot plays. Like, I feel like I started looking at this and, like, I'm on all pivot plays, and that's not the way I should be constructing lineups. I'll have to go back and look. Kevin Na's getting steam. We're not allowed to bet him or play him. I mean, that's just the way the rules work. And we talked about Kucher. Like, no, like, I can't. Like I switching putters. Like, I know the putter didn't do him in, but fuck Christ, man, no Kucher for me. So the guys I'm in here, I'm on Sergio, Billy Ho, and I might do a little Lowry, but I'm worried about the Masters with him too.
Okay, so we're on three different plays.
Nice.
So you were worried about us being on the same guys? No, we're not. So let's start with your mortal enemy number one. I like him this week. I like Fleetwood. No, I'm gonna make the case. He actually hit the ball really well at the Masters. He did not putt very well. That's gonna regress. He's a good putter. He was one of the worst putters in the field at the Masters. He is accurate. He's a good scrambler. Wrong. He has good course history here. He has good course history at a lot of the correlated places.
What course history does he have here?
He played once in
top 25.
That's fine. 1.7 strokes per round on the field. That's
small sample side. Come on, man.
I don't care. Not for me. So Fleetwood, I like him. Mortal enemy number two. Harris English, because his last name is English. He's played a little better lately. Played a little better at API. I think he did all right in match play. He had a good weekend at the Masters last week. You know, he has a lot of qualities that Fitzpatrick has. Like, he's accurate. Not the best iron players, but really good scrambler, decent putter. That plays well here. I like him. And then if I was allowed to play Kevin Na, you know, and if I wasn't on this podcast, I would tell you that really good course history here, good course history at the correlated places, great scrambler. You know, he can putt a little bit too. This is his type of course, you know, so... I'm taking three guys that I know you don't like, and I don't really care. And those are my plays. I mean, as far as fades, I mean, I don't know if you should. I mean, listen, for DFS purposes, I mean, answer is way too popular. But there are a lot of things to like, even though he did really well last year. The things he's doing right now works for this tournament, too. He's been hitting his irons really good. He's been scrambling pretty well. He's really accurate off the tee. Like, he might be able to repeat the performance he had from last year at a totally different tournament. I know he missed the cut, 2 years ago? It's a different player now. So, Brian Harmon, though, you know, that was a tough weekend for him.
So, I mean, 26th at the Masters, 23rd at the Valero, 22nd at the Players, 18th WGC.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about answer. Missed cut. Yeah. We got top five at the Amex, miscut.
He's been playing all right.
But I'm saying, it's for somebody very, very chalky and $8,900, his ceiling in the last five tournaments is 18th?
Right. No, I get it. I mean, his putter's been letting him down a little bit. The ball striking's been good, and at some point, it's got to come around. So,
I tell myself.
I mean, it did. I actually, now that I remember, Answer put really well at the Masters. That was why he was that high up. So,
if only we had Coast game data to back it up.
I mean, they're useless putts per hole stat.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, oh, if only we had the data. Like,
I know. We're not big enough to have that. Apparently,
can't they share it with everybody? Like, what? Like,
you have to manually calculate it. You have to literally go through everybody's shot tracker, and then like plug into your computer, and then it'll spit it out for you. Which,
Steve, next year, let's just say the D-gens all get together, and we ship your wife and kid off to like a spa for like the weekend.
I don't think my kid would like a spa.
Whatever.
She's two.
Yeah. Whatever. They have babysitters there and shit. Trust me. They right. And fine. Whatever. Well, I don't know what we can't send a 3-year-old anywhere by themselves. So it has to go with the mom, or you won't be able to do the Stroh's Cantata. So we'll figure out something. But if we sent them somewhere, could you put that together over the weekend?
No, it would take me like 5 months to go through everybody. I don't think you realize like how much of an endeavor that would be. All 90 golfers. I have to look at every single shot. I have to.
What if we just eliminated like the guys we don't give a shit about? Like what if we did?
But that then you're not capturing the actual game data. Because it's not in relation to the field.
All right, fine. All right, my theory's toast. My bad.
Okay. Anyways, I mean, I don't really like Harmon just because he was in the mix of the Masters. He faded over the weekend. He actually doesn't have that great of a course history. He has 11 appearances. He's top 10 twice, but he's got 4 missed cuts. You know, like some T50. Yeah. No. I don't really like anything else. It's those three, and that's really it for me. I'm much more interested. There's a lot of guys in the 7,000-hour range.
So many guys in the $7,000 range. Yeah. All right, so why don't you jump on the 7K range, grab a couple, we'll talk about them.
All right, I mean, listen, like, I love Chris Kirk, but he's really popular.
I know, that's so disappointing.
For DFS purposes, I'll probably pass. And, like, his course history here hasn't been all that great either, so it's pass. I'm surprised Kevin Kisner's not getting a lot of ownership this week. I thought he was going to be mega chalk, and he really isn't. And I don't totally get why. I mean, I know this is narrative street, but like this is one of like 5 golf courses he has a chance with, right? Like, yeah. And he's a short knocker, accurate. He's been hitting his irons all right. He's a good putter. And I know he still has it in him. I mean, like, I look at this golf course and I see a lot of Sea Island in it, and he lost in a playoff last fall.
Yeah.
He can still do it. So, yeah, I like Kevin Kisner. I like Christian Bezaden, who too. I mean, like, accurate, decent with his short mid irons, great scrambler, great putter. Played well here last year, but I think he has the skills to translate into this year too.
Okay.
Like him. And I really like Adam Hadwin this week. He's been playing a lot better lately. He fits this type of golf course. You know, he's like, for a while, he wasn't hitting his irons all that great. He wasn't putting all that great. That's starting to come back a little bit. You know, TD Green's been a little better. I like Adam Hadwin. That's kind of my sneaky little $7,100 play.
I like Hadwin too.
Well, that's okay. Join me.
I know. No, join me. How do you know who had the thought first?
Well, my column's up, so, you know, you could have read that.
Listen. I do read your column, not this week, but I do read the column. And I don't need to read your column. I just text you what I want to know.
That's true, and I'll tell you an answer right away.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to read 5,000 words. All right, so listen, these are the type of areas where I just start swimming, and I'm like, God, I like this guy, I like that guy, and I'll just go down a rabbit hole, and I waste so much time in this fucking area. But I don't care if Siwoo and Henley are chalk. I really don't. I don't.
We are established. You're taking Siwoo no matter what.
Yeah, that's it. Like, just lock him in. He's the free square on my board every week. And that's with betting, not so much with DFS.
But time out, by the way. We're going to talk about betting real quick.
Yeah.
What guy would have to be in a matchup against him that you wouldn't pick Siwoo?
Oh, I pass on a lot of Siwoo matchups, right? Like I won't bet. Oh, that's a tough question. Like the same level golfer?
No, just like your guys.
Mm.
Like you have your guys. It's Kokrak. Yeah. You know, it's Hatton, Siwoo. It's Matt Wallace now, apparently.
I do like Matt Wallace. I'm about to talk about him. The
You know, I mean, honestly, the fact that you like Billy Horschel in that last range, he's an angry guy now, so that's probably coming into your camp.
Holy shit, dude. This is weird.
I know you very well now. As soon as Billy Horschel is getting bad press, he's got to apologize for his bad attitude on the golf course. Oh, all of a sudden, Boston Capper likes Billy Horschel now. Weird.
So strange. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I'll do like I do when I bet the Red Sox or the Pats, right? If I don't think they're going to win, I just pass because I'm not going to be happy if I win money. You know what I mean? I'm just not going to be happy. So I never bet against. I just pass. And then like sometimes I'll just be dumb and I'll be like, listen, I think they're going to win and I'm going to take the money line versus the spread. And doesn't work out. But I mean, I guess I love Siwoo. I love Rahm. Like, but I mean, the odds for Rahm against Siwoo would be ridiculous. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I would never bet that anyway. So somebody, I don't think anybody in this range would ever bet over Siwoo, just because I have such respect for his irons, and I really want this kid not to have to go into military service. I think that's what I'm rooting for the most. Like, yeah. Please win a major, please win an Olympic, so you don't have to ruin your entire career.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine being on this podcast and you don't have Siwoo for 2 years.
Yeah. Oh.
I know. That's going to be rough. So back to who you like.
All right. So Siwoo and Henley, I don't care how chalky they are. I don't care about their course history. Last year doesn't count. And they missed the cut last time. Siwoo came in second here. He should have fucking won. I think I had an outright on him then, too.
Didn't he blow the lead, too?
He did. He did. Yeah. It was super fun.
And that was the one where there was tape delayed. We didn't even see it live. That was rough. Rough times for CBS then.
Yeah, fuck CBS. They're so bad. This Masters coverage was a joke, by the way. Like, we didn't even talk about it enough. It was terrible. Nick, we didn't see, like, any other golfers other than, like, the last two groups.
So, so everything you saw from, like, all the featured hole coverage, like, on your TV was about 3 minutes behind.
Oh, easy. Easy. I would go check my scores and my shit, and I'd be like, oh, I already know what happened. This is
pointless. Yeah. Like every time Vern Lundquist flashes 16, and I already knew that we weren't cashing our bet for the hole in one.
I know, dude. All right, we're on the fucking Heritage. All right, we're on to the RBC Heritage.
Yes.
I do like Matt Wallace. He's playing a lot better now. 7,500. He's right next to Kirk, who I did like initially, and then I pulled up his fucking ownership and I was like, god damn it, man. Like, I thought this was supposed to be like Steve's sneaky guy that I could use all the time. That is not the case anymore. Yeah, this is done. So whatever. I like Wallace. I need you to talk to me about Cam Davis.
what about?
Why shouldn't I play him? Or Burns. Right. Or Burns for that matter. Do we miss the window on Burns? Burns is playing like hot garbage. So yeah,
Burns is persona non grata right now. I mean, he finished ninth a couple years ago at the April Heritage, but listen, Cam Davis and Sam Burns basically the same player. They are bombers. They're inaccurate. Statistically, they're good iron players. They don't really hit their short or intermediate irons very well. They're better with their longer irons. Terrible scramblers. I think Davis, well, this isn't Bermuda.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you take the driver away from Davis and Burns, like, that's not when you want to use them.
Okay. So, here's the problem with me, right? Like, I know, like, all right, man, I made some money with Davis. Like, why shouldn't I play him again now that he's low on? You know what I mean? That's how my brain works. And I don't know. I guess I like Griot at 7,300 for the cheap plays. I'm with you. I like Hadwin. And I like Fratelli.
Okay. That's Nagels Bagels effect, right?
It might be. I mean, I saw the T8. He's in decent form. Fucking whatever. Like, dude, listen. Oh, actually, this is what I wanted to talk about. Post-it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a ball-striking Brad. I'll never play Post-it, but he has been very good in the June Heritage, and he was good at the one before that in April. So
yeah, and his
maybe there's actually something.
And his form's not even actually that bad right now.
He's been all right.
He got 22nd of the players, miscut at the Honda, miscut at Arnold, but then, 43rd, 11th, 18th. Like, okay. Like, I can work with that. Yeah. Like, I can definitely work with that. The only problem that terrifies me is his approach data is not good.
No, he's not a very good scrambler either. He's not even accurate, too. Like, it's one of these short knockers that, like, doesn't fit the profile. Like, inaccurate, bad iron play, not a good scrambler. All he does is putt. Like this is a guy I think someone's going to be like, oh, this is just like the Wyndham. They're going to pick J.C. Poston.
Yeah.
I don't know how much correlation there really is to that.
I mean, his best putting service is POA because it's like Well, no, it's not. It's Bermuda. Fuck. never mind. But yeah, whatever. I like him at that price. Just for the weird course history, it's like, oh, okay, that seems out there. Super low ownership. I'm going to have to go back through a bunch of lineups and be like, okay, I need to calculate all this ownership because I clearly was just avoiding chalk everywhere.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, listen, a
you
lot
get to
of
watch
guys,
how the process works, guys. That's fun.
Listen, a lot of guys you mentioned, I like to, like, I'll throw out a couple more names. Like Kevin Streelman always seems like he does all right here. He's accurate, good iron player. That works very well. But Denny McCarthy's been playing a little better too. He's not just a putter anymore. Like, he kind of has been having good tee to green numbers. You know, he's a good scrambler. I know the course history hasn't been all that great here, but maybe he can turn around just because he's been relatively okay recently. So yeah, but like, I mean, I like Rio too. You know, I Lucas Glover, maybe he can continue the good form he showed at Valero. He's a little more popular this week, so I don't know. The secret's out on him. Like Matt Wallace, I like him. Like even your boy Sebastian Munoz, I can see something with that too. So
did he have such a bad Sun? Was it Sunday he had bad? I can't remember if it was Sunday or Saturday bad with him.
Yeah,
I guess that fits the narrative though.
It's a good point. So, but yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of guys. I think that's probably the reason why there's so many guys about 10% because it's a pretty good range. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good options. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I guess before we start dumpster diving, or I guess it's not really that much dumpster diving this week. But listen, we're brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Look, it's like YouTube for degens only care about sports betting. So we give out our free daily video picks over at Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure you subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. You get to go over there and see my pretty face and Munoz's spectacular beard.
Yes, it is glorious.
That is a spectacular beard.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to grow one out like him?
So here's the deal, right? So I've grown mine out before. So these grays right here, they used to be red. And, like, it gets to a certain point. I have curly Irish hair. And, like, it just starts, like, growing in. And I can't fucking deal with the itchiness, man. I just can't. Like, I can't. So at most, it's like a 5 for me or a 6. I did it for a Red Sox. I think the last time I grew it up was a 13. Holy shit, that was like 8 years ago. That can't be right. I thought it was the 13. Yeah, 2013 Red Sox run. Mm. Well, no, I probably did it for the Bruins too when we lost to the fucking who the hell? Oh, the fucking Blues. Oh, Christ, Game 7. Game 7 at home.
Poor you. You guys never win championships in Boston.
No, fuck off. It still hurts. All right. Who you got in the 6K range?
All right. I mean, I can't play chalk Doug Gim, but I like him anyway.
Oh, if you differentiate somewhere else, man, like seriously, if you think he's going to play well.
Yeah, but the under sevens, unless it's like a Corey Connors, like in all these other garbage events, chalk has been getting annihilated under seven.
I know.
So, like with given Neesmith, like you can get top 20s on them at like 4-1, 5-1. I'd rather just do that instead of ruin an entire DFS lineup. So that's all I'm doing with that. I mean, as far as guys that like are not popular, they're like, I mean, I go back with Russell Knox, and he's missed the cut the last two, but he missed the cut on the number. He's been good tee to green. The putting hasn't been great. This is a type of golf course where he's been good here. He's accurate, good iron player, good scrambler. Like if the winnings, it's kind of like how we probably should have realized Hideki was going to win the Masters. Is that if the winning score was going to be -10, -11. Doesn't need to putt all that great. I mean, yep. He can ball strike the place. So I think Knox can do that. So I like him. I think Redmond's starting to play a little better lately.
Oh, no.
And he's been for a while there, the scrambling was really bad. But that's improved. The putting has been okay. Still striking the ball well, like with his off the tee, with his irons. Kind of like him. And then Chase Seifert kind of fits a lot of boxes. He's been playing a little better lately.
He's accurate, chalky too, though, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
All right, then maybe not then. So
he's like 10% chalky, but he's like chalky.
Okay. Enough. All right, then maybe pass on him. But I mean, since I mentioned him, I mean Seifert's been hitting his irons already. He's accurate, playing a little better lately. So, but if he's chalky, maybe get away. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's really only Knox and Redmond just because their ownership is a little lower, and I can see a path forward. But other than that, I don't know. Do I play Cage Lee again? Maybe. Oh,
maybe. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I see some stuff I like. So, and I don't think his ownership is that great. I mean, his course history stinks. But I don't know. I'm surprised we don't have a 20% Jim Furyk in this range. You know?
Yeah, like, for real. Like honestly. Honda. Yeah. I mean, how crazy was that? He caught so much fucking steam.
I know.
What's crazy is I'm on the exact same two guys as you.
That's awful. You guys need to fade that then.
For real. Like, if we both pick the same 6K and under golfers, that is fucking awful. Like, why are you jumping on Knox? I'm always on Knox. Like, leave him be.
Because there are a lot of things I like about how I think the golf course is going to play. And I think Knox, I mean, listen, the guy
won a WGC. Yeah, listen, I hear. And so the only other two guys that I like, and there's really only one guy I like, and I'm going to have to mention the other guy just because I have to. But Landry, he's $6,400. He's made the cut here the last three times. Yeah, listen, he's not winning anything, but he might get you a top 40. And 6-6 comes through in DK, especially if you're going to go heavy up top. If you're going to grab two of the 10K guys and some of the higher priced 7K or even 8K guys, if you like them, I think Landry's fine.
And the defending how about your boy Luke List?
Nope. But my boy Wes Bryant.
Oh God, not again.
I'm back, baby. I'm playing Wes Bryant. $6,300. No. Let's go. He's $6,300.
Yeah, he's been $6,300 like the last like 10 tournaments. He won.
Yeah,
before his shoulder fell off.
Yeah, well, listen, there's lots of good drugs now and good surgeons. Like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
All right. Maybe borrow that Andrew that used to get when you're a kid. There you go. All right, I think that's about it. Got anything else for DFS, or we can move on?
No, we can move on.
Okay. All right. So my big short.
Let's go.
And it's going to continue of fading guys play well at the Masters. And I mentioned him earlier. I didn't really like him in DFS. His ownership is pretty high. Never really done too good at this place. And the ball striking numbers pop on Fantasy National, but just in context, that was a rough Sunday. He put a lot of his heart and energy in the thing and just didn't come through. I think Corey Connors finished outside the top 40. I think he's probably going to bomb.
How dare you, sir?
I know. I love Corey Connors too, but like, never been very good here. It's not a very good scrambler either. He putt really well at the Masters until that Sunday. Like, I just.
But that's how we knew. That's why we knew he was going to finish it. Like, that's how he finishes every tournament.
It's alarming to me that, like, he's a good ball striker, but, like, in the two heritages that where it would fit his game, he missed the cut. Like, that's. Maybe it just doesn't fit his eye. So, Connor's going to finish outside the top 40. Not going to help you this week.
I regret to agree with you on that. Like, I was scared just because, like we talked about at the beginning, like, just mentally taxing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy who was in it.
Yeah, like, he was
in it. He was in it.
On Saturday.
Do you remember how mad I was on, I think it was Saturday, when I was like, oh, my Connors ticket's still alive. 5 minutes later, fuck, I don't have a Connors ticket. I thought I bet a Connors ticket. And it was a coke rack ticket. I was like, son of a bitch.
that's pretty bad.
I was like, because they were the same odds or whatever, and I fucking clicked the wrong goddamn name. I'm with you on that, actually. I hope he does well. I do, but I think you're right.
I think you're right. Let's go over who not to pick in one and done. Why don't you go first?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go, or do you?
No, I'll just take it. I'll just do I actually like Berger this week. I haven't used Berger, have I?
You talk about why you like Berger. I'll check if you've actually used him yet.
Yeah, so I get confused because we got fucking two of these things now. Listen, I just like Berger because I feel like his style fits this, right? He missed the cut, right? And when he had top five last time he played here. I feel like he's a hell of a lot better golfer than the last two times he played here. Finished top 10 at the Masters. Why are you laughing? Because I already fucking took him.
Yeah, you took him. All right. Why don't I go over who you're taking? All right. You're taking Palmer, Scheffler, English, Berger, Casey, Rory, Xander, Sungjae, Webb, Henley, who actually is your biggest cash to date.
Yeah, thanks.
Kokrak, Finau, and JT. You mush JT. You're the reason why I took an 8 on Saturday.
Yeah, whatever. Seriously, this is like I can't even explain it. I don't understand. I hit outrights, hit all my shit, and just one and done. I'm just cursed. It's fucking terrible.
You can take DJ this week.
Oh, I haven't taken DJ, have I?
That would be a hell of a time to take DJ.
Let's go. I'm taking DJ. Let's go.
Oh, my God. I actually like it. I like it. That is incredibly bold. So. All right. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I think there's going to be a big bounce back for him. He's been really good at Heritage. And you know what? I'm sitting like 1,200th. Like, the cash is in reach. I need a splash. A lot of guys have already taken Cantlay already. And I'm looking at, like, where I'm going to use him down the line. And, I mean, we don't have that many tournaments left. So, I'm going Patrick Cantlay this week. Give me the win. Let's hop into the top 500 and let's get in the cash. Let's go.
I like it. I like it. That's who I was going to go to until you challenged me to take DJ. So good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dio, some good stuff. It's very smart of you to bring up DJ. Like, you won't take DJ. Oh, yes, I will.
I triple dog dare you.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, listen, before we jump into our betting segment, the Sports Gambling Podcast is now on Riffer. Riffer is your home to mini episodes and free picks from the SGPN crew. If you don't have time to listen to an entire episode, Riffer is perfect quick fix. Make sure to subscribe to the SGPN page by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/riffer. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/riffer. Yeah, like if you don't have, you know, over an hour and a half to listen to us talk about golf, I guess I'm gonna have to stop making these videos.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Riffer idea sounds like a really intriguing idea. I like it.
It really does. I mean, it speaks to the millennial attention span and, you know, be able to get short little bits of content out there. But then you don't have the banter and the chemistry and the, I don't know.
Some people don't like our banter. But that's okay. So maybe they just wanted to come here for the picks. And
yeah, listen, that's fine too, but you're missing out. But whatever, I guess. Kramer will tell me how to start doing the Riffer stuff. So
okay.
All right. So what do you want to start with?
Well, I'm going to start with first round leader. I mean, pulling back the curtain, had a very busy week. I spent a lot of time getting those Masters Heritage leans. Didn't really do my homework on first round leans, but one of our best listeners and great SGPN contributor, Moonoff, the first round leader savant himself, he came with the lean. He actually did the homework for me after he gave me the homework assignment. You know, he kind of paid it back for me. And so what he said was he knows first round leaders tend to be guys who didn't play the Masters last week. Guys play the Masters end up getting a slow start. So pick guys who didn't play the Masters, who've been playing pretty well lately, have good course history. That probably is going to be somewhere. That's probably where you want to go with that. Mm-hmm. You're writing this down because you're going to fire bets immediately on that, right?
Correct.
All right. So like, I mean, look at this. So, like, Hoffman, probably. Like, that might be a first-round leader bet. Like, Chris Kirk, that might be a first-round leader bet. Who else didn't play the Masters? You know, Brendan Todd played the Masters. Kevin Streelman. Like guys like that. Okay. So, you know.
Do you use advantage off of 1 or 10? Just off of your brain, obviously no research on it. Is there any statistical advantage on that?
I probably would think going off of 1 being advantage. 16, 17, 18 can be kind of tough. So it's kind of like with, especially 17, with how it's angled, like that can get away from you very quick if the winds drop.
Right.
Because it's a par 3 directly into the fan.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the 17.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's great. It's like the 17th of Pebble, though. That's really hard. Like, just like a par 3 into the fan with trouble everywhere. So I would say probably going off 1 is your best bet. So I think both the par 5s are on. I think there's 2 par 5s on the front, and then there's a drivable par 4 on the 9th. So you got to a fast start there. So I would say probably guys in the front who didn't play the Masters.
Okay. All right, cool. So I take Fitz at this point just every week because I feel like he's always buzzing around the top. I took Siwoo, I took Hoffman, HV3, and Griot. But I'll look into a couple more. But those guys all fit that mold, other than Kim and Fitz.
Okay. All right, so. I like it. So, yeah. All right, how about some top 10 bets? What do you got?
I only got two, man. I got Poston at plus 700 and Kim at plus 350.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Wait, are you going all in on Kim outright, top 10, top 20? The worst?
No, I don't do the top 20 for it, but I'll throw the top 10 in because, you know, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. All right, there you go. I'm going to discuss my co-host because it's two English guys. I'm going for a top 10. Paul Casey, who you disparaged earlier. 3-1.
He sucks. Dude, he cost us 2 days in a row on the Masters. Two days.
You know what? I have a short memory. I don't care. It's a new week.
Sucks.
So, new week, new me. Paul Casey plus 300, top 10.
New week, new me.
I was tempted to really, really give you the middle finger and go Tommy Fleetwood outright, but I'm not going to do that.
You want to burn your money? Burn your money.
No, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I did with Arnold Palmer, and that worked out for me. Tommy Fleetwood, top 10 plus 450.
How did it work out for you at concession?
The outright didn't work out great, but yeah. I getting all my money back at API, so that worked.
Is my camera still on?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I don't appreciate you making the gesture.
Okay, I'm frozen up top, so
this,
I wasn't.
This is why we had the explicit rating, is you know what you just told there.
Yeah, exactly.
So Fleetwood plus 450, top 10. I think he's going to come home. And,
that's fine. You know, I like that.
Get very mad on Sunday.
Listen, okay. I don't bet any money on him other than I bet matchups against them. All right, so top 20s. I got HV3 plus 450. I feel like his bugaboo is always his putting. Super small greens, right? Decent with his irons. Hopefully he puts it close enough where he can kick it in.
That's another one of your guys, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I love HV3. I do. Dude, how can't you like that guy?
Because he doesn't really perform. Or let's put it this way. He hasn't performed when I have money on him. I've never seen to get that dude right.
I don't know. He's just very super likable. He's a super likable dude. Like, I love his backstory. Like, I don't know. He's just one of those dudes that I root for. You know what I mean? Like, that dude, I want this dude to do good. Like, where the fuck was it when, it was a bigger tournament too. I can't even think of it, where he duck hooked it in the woods and he was in contention on Sunday and it just fucking melted, man.
Yeah, it was the PGA, it was the final group.
Oh my God,
he hit a shank so bad.
So bad, man. Like I was rooting so hard for HV3 because seriously, his backstory is awesome. Like he's good for golf. Like he's a younger cat. Like obviously, brings diversity to golf. I just like HV3. And plus his fucking his golf shoes are always on point too. So
okay.
And I got Fratelli plus 300. And then Billy Ho, 2-1 to make top 20. I feel like in this field, like whatever. It's nothing exciting, but top 20s aren't exciting. Like that's why I don't give a shit about them.
No, I mean all the odds are usually drunk anyway. So yeah. I mentioned I really like Christian Bazain who needed plus 275 for top 20. I'm not going out Rand Henley, but you can get a plus 260 for top 20. A solid save. I like that. And then my column's going to be out on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. List off, like, I think six other guys you can consider for top 20, all the way from like plus 300 all the way to like plus 800. So go check that out. But yeah, those are the top 20 plays.
Okay. All right. So we want to do matchups and outrights.
Yeah, let's do matchups. I got a lot to go over from matchups.
All right. Well, let me burn through mine real quick then.
All right.
Because I've decided. Because I'm trying to have more discipline, at least on Thursdays. So then I just lose all discipline on Sunday. That I'm trying to limit my outright matchups for the whole tournament. But I did find five I liked. Like Smith, minus 115, over answer. Hoffman, 125 over Poulter. Wallace, even over Ortiz. Fitz, 125 over Casey. Garcia, even over M.
Okay. All right. I like all those. So,
even the Casey one?
Who was Casey up against?
Fitz.
I mean, I can see it. I like both guys, so yeah. I mean, that's a stay away from me because I like both, but yeah, I can see if Casey beats Fitzpatrick. It's fine.
Fitzpatrick beats Casey.
Okay. All right. I mean, I mentioned I didn't like Brian Harman earlier. I think Harrison was starting to play a little better. You get Harrison who's plus 110 over Harman. Plus money.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, the odds kind of look a little crooked to me. Same thing with, well, you're going to disown me after this. Podcast is over after I say this next matchup. Tommy Fleet was the underdog Shane Lowry. And
he should be.
No, he really shouldn't be. You're totally wrong on this. He shouldn't
charity
be.
Charity bet.
All right, fine. Charity bet. All right,
charity
50
bet.
Bucks. Fleetwood yep. or Lowry? I will happily take Fleetwood.
Take a Lowry.
Okay. There you go. God. All right. We don't need to discuss it any further then.
You sickened me.
Well, I know. I took an Irishman. I took an Englishman over your Irishman. So there you go. All right. Matthew Neesmith, -115 or -115 or Bryce Garnett. Both guys have decent course history at Heritage. The difference is Neesmith's a better ball striker. And when Garnett's been good at Harbortown, it's been those really low scoring years. I don't think it's going to be that. So I like Neesmith over him.
I like that.
I found Paul Casey -105 or Corey Connors. I just don't like Connors this week. And Casey, the underdog. They're comparable on paper. You can take Casey there. And then this might come back to really bite me. But with Morikawa, I think you gotta approach him like he's either gonna be like first or second, or he's gonna finish like 40th. Like that's kind of been his MO lately.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of the guys just paired up with matchups this week, the odds are reasonable. So like you can get Daniel Berger -115 over Morikawa. Kind of like that. You can't lie -125 over Morikawa. Like that. You can get Webb -130 over Morikawa. Like, these are guys that, like, listen, they don't have as high a ceiling as Morikawa, but shit, their floors are definitely a lot higher than his.
I agree. That's
and those prices are okay, so.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right. It's the price. It's not even so much the matchup. It's the, it should be 140, 150, and I'm getting 120.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how many strokes per round they're gaining per tournament, like, if they're way higher, the problem is just the perception of Morikawa. Like, he can explode any minute, so. And then the matchup that I found that I know you're going to insta-bet, involving Will Zalatoris, he is -135 over Matt Kuchar.
Is that on the same book we share?
Yes, it is.
What the fuck? How did I miss that one?
Just go look for it.
I'm going to.
Okay. That's it. Those are my matchups.
All right. So outrights. That's it, man.
Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'll go first on that one. So, all right. Berger at 22-1. Listen, these numbers I missed. I'm sure Steve's going to have better numbers. Like I said, I didn't bet anything other than Kirk and who the hell else did I bet? Who did I say I bet?
I forget.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. Fucking.
it's been a long week, guys.
Yeah, it's been a long week. So I got Berger 22-1, Siwoo 45-1, Henley 55-1. Oh, that's it, Henley, because I was like, God damn it. Billy Horschel, like I said, the number's wrong, 55-1. Kirk 66-1, Wallace 80-1, Davis 100-1, and then fuck it, Gim 1250-1, however you want to say it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm only five right now. And I'm one of the things I forgot to mention about lessons learned. I do this with every major that like I love to go hunting for odds and values like a month before that. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is I'm already pocketed on like six or seven guys for the Masters that I don't end up really liking. But it's like, oh, well, I got a great number at like 55-1. He's down to 30. Well, I don't like that guy anymore. So what I come to realize is I got to limit myself in outrights. And just maybe fire bullets during tournament because in the Masters, yep. The two guys that I had left at the end were guys I lied bet. So I mentioned I like Patrick Cantlay to bounce back in a big way this week. I found an 18-1 on him. That's a really good price. I jumped on that. I actually found a 28-1 on Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he's low 20s. I found a 28. I jumped on that. The Kisner 60-1 number just looks crooked. I thought that was going to be like 40-1 coming in.
Yeah, we talked about that. We said we were going to snap bet it.
Yeah, so I did that. Adam Hadwin 110-1. I just really like him this week.
I'll write that one down. So
and Russell Knox 150-1.
I can't believe I take Knox. I'll take that one too.
Fuck okay, it. There you go. Those are my five, and that's it. But I mean, it was hard to pick those. There are a lot of guys you can make a case for.
So many.
Week.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Save some bullets. And I think the last couple times, people have come from behind on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is completely wide open. So yeah, don't get too committed and bet like 10 guys.
Right.
Save some bullets, see how it goes. And then, you know, pivot a little bit if you have to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, that's going to fucking wrap it up. So, come follow us, in the Slack channel, Sports Gambling Podcast. .com/Slack, is that right? I'm so bad with that shit.
Or is it? Yep, that's it. If you go to my author page on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, you'll have a link that you can get.
Yeah, go read Steve's articles. Like that's where you get the in-depth stuff. He already gives you leads, and he's gonna give you other matchups and other props and stuff like that on it. You can follow me on Twitter, Boston_Gapper. I say it every week. I'll be better on Twitter, and I never am, but someday I will be. And yeah, man, I mean, that's it. Come follow us on Slack. That seriously is the most important thing. Like I said before, great community there. Not just us in there giving out stuff. We have other Shap guys in there kicking it. It's fucking free, man. We don't put shit behind a paywall. This is free knowledge. And listen, we have hit a shit ton of winners for the fucking year already. Our round matchups are awesome. I'm not trying to tell, but seriously, come listen, man. If you're listening to this and you're already at the end, then what are you doing? Fucking come to the Slack channel and come fucking make some money. Be a part of the community. Stop breaking balls. We know each other by a first name basis, right? Fucking come on. Come make it and come break the fucking books with us. Let's go. RBC Heritage is going to be in the books, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
No,
we're going to do
it. It's only 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, all right. So to pull back the curtain, why don't we, this is an epilogue for this episode.
Yeah, epilogue.
Right. Next week is Zurich, and that's a rinky-dink bullshit tournament. If you don't know what the Zurich is, it is a two-man team tournament where it is 2 days of stroke play foursomes, which is essentially teams get whoever has the highest score on each team, that's your score, and then 2 days of alternate shot stroke play. That's a disaster. It's a mess. I've tried betting it. It's awful. So we'll give out some picks for fun. I spend a lot of time trying to give you guys leans and trends and everything. Absolute disaster to try to do it for this thing. It is a terrible golf course too. So what we're going to do next week, we're going to talk about something that actually matters that is going to pique your interest, the PGA Championship. Because that's in 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
3 weeks by the time we record it.
Exactly. So we'll break down the golf course. We have an early preview of that. We'll go over some odds, some guys we're looking at. Like, that's more important than a rinky-dink event. It doesn't even get world ranking points. And you don't even, if you win it, you don't even get credit for a win. Like
you get your CAD, though, right? Do you still get your CAD?
Well, on the PGA Tour, they give you a win. But in the official world rankings, no win. Like, Cam Smith has won this thing? Nope. He's only won the Sony.
Shadowboard.
Exactly.
All right. So, once again, come follow us on fucking Slack. Sorry I tried to end it earlier. Listen, either way, we're going to break these fucking books. We'll talk to you boys on Tuesday. We'll recap. And we'll talk to you about the guys we already have at the Open Championship. And hopefully the numbers are still there. And put you on some more winners. So, yeah. Take it easy, boys. Let's go. Let's go make some fucking money this week.